Welcome to Amici, news and insight from the New York Judiciary and Unified Court System. Today, we are pleased to bring you former Chief Judge Judith S. Kaye, who, among her many other activities, serves as chair of the Commission on Judicial Nomination, the entity tasked with evaluating potential nominees for the Court of Appeals, the highest court in the state. Judge Kaye, who had been a commercial litigator when she was appointed to the Court of Appeals in 1983, was the first woman on the court, the first woman to serve as chief judge, and the longest-serving chief judge in state history. She presided over the court for more than 15 years and is now of counsel to Skadden Arps, Slate, Meagher & Flom, and Manhattan. The Commission on Judicial Nomination was created in 1977 through an amendment to the New York State Constitution and charged with nominating candidates for the Court of Appeals based on merit. When a vacancy occurs, the 12-member commission, comprised of members appointed by all three branches of government, interviews applicants and submits to the governor a list of nominees it deems suitable for the high court. The governor must select from that list. The commission has been unusually busy of late. In the past 2 years, four new judges have joined the court, and in the next couple years, three other judges will come to the end of their terms. The court is currently seeking candidates for the chief judge position. So this is a particularly opportune time to discuss what the commission is, how it works, and what it does.
First, Judge Kaye, let's talk about the process. What triggers the commission into action?
What triggers the commission into action is a letter from the clerk of the court, of the Court of Appeals. It's dated April 15, 2015. It's a letter from Andrew Klein, clerk of the Court of Appeals of the State of New York, to the New York State Commission on Judicial Nomination, care of Henry Greenberg. Dear Mr. Greenberg, please be advised that the term of Court of Appeals Chief Judge Jonathan Lippman expires on December 31, 2015. This letter constitutes the required notice under the judiciary law. So the commission is now triggered into action on the office of Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals of the State of New York.
So what happens next? You've got notification, and what do you do next? Do you advertise a vacancy, or do you wait for applications, or do you recruit candidates, or all of the above?
Well, let me start by saying that we have taken a very, very active posture. We, meaning the Commission on Judicial Nomination, in that we want to be sure that we interest as many candidates as possible so that we can make the very best choices to hand the governor when we hand the governor the list. So the first thing we will do is gather, and we have already, whether it's by phone or in person, the commission has 12. We will gather and make up, and so we will plan between May and let's say June or so to just do as much as we can to get word out to the public about this vacancy so that everyone who is interested, everyone who has a friend who is interested and believes that he or she is qualified for the position is sure to apply. We want to have the largest number of possible applicants. That is our first objective. I'm going to start in a week or so by making an appearance at what is called the State Federal Judicial Council or State Federal Judicial Council, which is a state federal gathering, just as the name suggests, where I'm going to talk about this opening. Hopefully, the many people there will spread the word so that we will begin to receive applications. And when we gather, we will fix the dates for, first of all, our consciousness-raising sessions throughout the state, and second of all, the submission of applications.
Now, are all the applicants interviewed? And if not, how do you decide which candidates to interview?
Well, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, our purpose is to get the largest possible number of applicants. And we have been quite successful these past four rounds that we've had. We've had these consciousness-raising sessions, and we've had applicants in the dozens. So assuming that we are successful again to get applicants in the dozens, we will not interview all of the applicants. We will study very hard. We have the most wonderful group of assistants who help us in investigating each of the written applications. And then we will determine how many of the applicants we will bring in for interviews. But we hope we have a very large number of applicants, and we hope we will have a good size number of people we interview as well. Because in the past, for each vacancy, the law, by this I mean both the judiciary law and the Constitution of the state of New York, provide for a list of from 3 to 7 candidates to hand to the governor. This time for chief judge, we have to hand the governor a list of 7. So I'm hoping that we'll be working very, very hard. Certainly every member of the commission expects to be working very, very hard, and so does our group of investigators. So we hope we'll see a large number of applicants, see them in writing, and we will spend time reviewing them, investigating them, and then interviewing them.
Once the interviews start, how long does an interview typically go, and what sort of things are discussed?
Well, I would say we leave roughly half an hour for an interview. We don't draw very strict lines we don't kick people out, but we try to make the interviews very meaningful. I say we now have basically our fourth round together, so we're pretty experienced in being both effective and efficient. And what sort of things do we ask of candidates? Well, we want to know that we're going to come through with the very most qualified people. For the Court of Appeals, we keep in mind that we're interviewing people for the Court of Appeals, and this time around, we're interviewing people for the Chief Judge. So our questions are going to be very much directed to what you believe, you the candidate, based on your application, what you've told us in writing. What do you believe especially suits you, especially qualifies you for a position of this enormous importance? What in your background singles you out from all the others? And we like to get full answers, reflecting a familiarity with the justice system, the state court justice system, the Court of Appeals. This time we'll be looking for administrative qualifications as well. But we'll be trying to get, in addition to this rather full written application, trying to get a good sense of the human being. That's the purpose of the interview. What especially suits you to be Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals?
And then how does the internal selection process work? Is there a discussion prior to votes, a series of votes? How does it work? How does somebody make the final cut?
I think we have a quite wonderful process where each branch of government appoints 4 candidates. So that's 4 appointed by the judiciary, by the chief judge, 4 appointed by the governor, 4 appointed by the legislature. The Constitution prescribes that there have to be different political parties, that some have to be lawyers, some have to be non-lawyers. And this all goes to answering your question, because imagine this group sitting around a table giving the diversity of appointors, the diversity of background, some lawyers, some non-lawyers, the diversity of political party. We will have essentially the same group. I know we have one new appointee. We've just been informed that Michael Hutter has been appointed. Most of us have been together through these last appointments, and we work collaboratively exceedingly well because we know what we're looking for, and we work very hard in studying the writings. So to call this a collegial process is, I think, exactly the right word. There's a very, very healthy discussion about who we're going to interview. The interviews, I might tell you, are excellent. You have open discussion and open voting, and we try, we do very in-depth discussion prior to voting. We hear from the people who have done the investigations prior to voting, and then we start the voting, and we've been extremely fortunate in our last rounds that the people, we have been really essentially in agreement. Will I swear that every single candidate who's been on the list every time has just made, you know, that it's just been an automatic rise? No, because sometimes there's a little back and forth. This is a human process, and there are 12 appointees. But I think if you talk to any member of the commission, he or she will tell you that it's really a remarkable process, a remarkably collegial process, where we have, in the end, unanimously each time, agreed on a list of 7 candidates that we have handed to Governor Cuomo. And I hope this time, and look forward this time, to doing the same thing, that we have huge open discussion. Nobody is cut off, and we have been unanimous in the lists that we have handed to Governor Cuomo.
How does the voting work, though? Let's say you interview 15 people, and then you say, candidate one, yes or no, candidate two, yes or no. How's the process work? I imagine it's multiple rounds.
Yes, I would say multiple rounds, but we're not rigid. And again, I don't know how many we're going to have to cut down from. I mean, we may have to go from a list of 25 down to 20, down to 15. So there are definitely rounds of voting. There are some people, everybody would say, at the beginning, automatically, wow, isn't that, you know, there's no doubt that that person goes on our list. So I cannot give you a technical sheet that we follow, and I would have to agree that there are rounds. We have to cut the list. I'm hoping that we have to cut the list a lot, because I'm hoping that we get just that our outreach sessions informing people about this great office will yield a number of really superb candidates. So there will be rounds as we cut our list down and down. But essentially what the process I've described to you, a very full, in-depth, open, informed discussion, that's been true of every time that I've been a member of the commission.
With your mandate to find the candidates that are best qualified for the Court of Appeals, how do you factor in diversity issues, gender, ethnic, and racial, and geographic diversity?
Well, we have that in mind all the time, because the truth is, it is important. We all recognize that those are important factors, and we always are careful in our list to be sure that we have reached every part of the state, that we have crossed gender and ethnic lines, because that is what, that's part of our mandate and part of what we would want to see in the choice for the Court of Appeals. So I don't know beyond that how to answer that question, except if you take a look at our lists, and I'm speaking of the lists where I've been chair, the past 4 lists. I think they've been truthful to the mandate that our court should reflect the gender, ethnic, and geographic diversity of our state. So we do it, and we work hard to do it.
Having seen it from both sides of the table, are there any reforms to the process that you would advocate or you think are necessary?
I've thought hard about that, and I think we know each other long enough to know that if I thought there were any reforms to the process that I thought were necessary, I would have set about doing them or seeking to get them done. I think this process works really well. I cannot think of anything but praise that I would give to the process. I've got the Constitution open in front of me, and I urge anyone hearing this podcast or this exchange that we're having to take a look at Article 6, Section 2, and see how carefully thought through this entire system is. I just don't know of a better system they really thought so hard about how to assure that we'd get the best of the best, and it's really quite a remarkable provision of the Constitution of the State of New York. I truly urge anyone hearing this to take a look at it, and then to take a look and think about your question, are there reforms that are necessary? Wow, read the provision. Anybody who thinks he or she would be a credit to really do a good job as Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals, people should apply. And then open the Constitution. Take a look and see how well-constructed, impartial, fair this commission is, how fair the process is, and know, as a human matter, that your application will be very, very seriously considered. And if you think this is something you want, if you think this is something you have a shot at, don't fail to apply. That's the thing that vexes me the most, that too many people turn themselves off unnecessarily.
If someone does apply and is fortunate enough to get an interview, what would be your advice to them then? What can they do to position themselves best to make the list?
I think as with most things in life, just imagine if you were going to make an argument before the Court of Appeals, you just want to know everything about the issues. So you want to know everything about what the requirement, what are the job requirements, what makes an outstanding chief judge of the state of New York. You want to know about, that it has two aspects, one being the judicial aspect, you're the chief judicial officer, another you're the chief executive officer. You really want to be very well prepared in terms of chief judicial officer. You want to know what it's like, what the court is like, what is service like on the highest court of the state of New York. You want to know on the leadership qualities, what kinds of things has the chief judge of the state of New York, and my goodness, if you look back over the past few decades, you'll see what a challenge it is to find ways to make this a better justice system. So I would say the first thing is intensive preparation about the job. And then the second is, how do you best describe why you are the right candidate for the job in using all of your the qualifications that you've built up over the years? What would you do to keep this court system an outstanding, utterly outstanding court system? And why are you the person best qualified for the job? So I'd say I look upon it almost as preparing for an oral argument, in the sense that you want to think of the most challenging questions if you put yourself on the other side of the table, and you know why you're there. So just show me why you deserve to, you know why you're there in front of the commission. Show me why you deserve to be chief judge of the Court of Appeals. And I can tell you, having been through the process three times on the other side of the bench, I've never bitten my nails more. It's the same point, that you want to know that you are maximally and utterly prepared. And everyone should know that it's a kind and respectful and dedicated and wonderful group of 12 who will be doing the interview. So I have never seen anything less than maximal respect paid to the candidates. So it's hardly one of these processes where you're interviewed into the ground. The burden is on you, the interviewee, to show that you have prepared yourself well for what the requirements of the position are and why you meet those requirements and how you meet those requirements.
Of course, for most of New York's history, the Court of Appeals was an elective position. Is this a better process to choose a Court of Appeals?
I think I said earlier, and I'm so glad you give me the opportunity to say this again, because anticipating our call today, I have pulled out the Constitution and I have it sitting in front of me. I just don't know of a better system. You know, there's the elective system. Many of our judges, most of our judges in the state of New York are elected. Our trial judges are elected. That's one thing, but we have seen where judges are elected to the top court in other states. I think the most recent example we had was maybe West Virginia. It was another state not close to New York. But unlike the financial burdens placed on elections for the trial courts, for the first-level courts, which regrettably sometimes are very costly for people. Millions, tens of millions of dollars go into elections for state high court judges. We've seen so many examples of that. So I would have to say that I am so thankful that we do not have this in the state of New York. That's the elective system. Then there's the, there's the retention system. That's another alternative, where maybe you have election for a short time and then you have retention. But there again, you'd have the all of the problems and difficulties of huge amounts of money being poured in for political reasons, not necessarily for quality reasons. And then in addition, so that would last a few years, and then you have to have a retention election. Problems with elections. And then there's a third possibility where solely the chief executive officer of the state makes the appointment. Various ways of reaching the choice of judge, associate judge, or chief judge of the Court of Appeals. Honest, I can't think of a better system than the one that's been devised, which does this massive amount of work. Of course, once we give the list to the governor also does a massive amount of work, but at least the governor has only 7 candidates. We might have 50, and we have to go through all of these people. So I think we do a huge, huge service to the governor, to the appointing authority, in the sense that we do consciousness raising, first of all, and then we do all this enormous amount of vetting. And third of all, that with the all of the considerations of integrity and impartiality, and search for diversity, that we so seriously go about our work. And I say we're different political parties. We're some are lawyers, some are non-lawyers. I mean, every now and then somebody does make me sit up straight when I hear him or her ask what book a person is reading. So you just never know what kind of question you're going to get. But what a great system. What a great system was devised by those people back in the late 70s. Really the best system I can think of.
The proof seems to be in the pudding. I don't think anyone would seriously dispute that the New York State Court of Appeals is, if not the most esteemed state court in the country, certainly one of them.
Well, I sure hope so, and with every fiber of my being, I intend to do everything as chair of this commission to ensure that remains true.
That's Kay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, because you're helping us get the word out, and the posture we're in right now is to get the word out to anybody. If you think you would like to be the chief judge and are qualified to be the chief judge, if you know somebody who you think is qualified to be the chief judge, please, please, please do not hesitate to make application for the position.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, call John Carr at 518-453-8669 or send him a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.